Warning, I may cry through this whole talk today, okay? When we talk about God, or when I talk about God, many times I still see a man with a beard up in the sky. And in this research for this talk, what came through was to think of God not as a person, but as a feeling of bliss that's within each and every one of us. Not a picturing, but a feeling. Imagine being blissful all the time, because we have that within us. We have that capability. When we're the extension of God that we are, we can actually experience bliss and love and joy all the time. But mostly, and especially this last month, of course, because I chose this for the title, Living from the Christ Consciousness, of course this month I was in fear. So I had to find that Christ consciousness in me over and over again, sometimes every minute of every day. And that's the furthest place that we can be from God when we're living in that place of fear and limitation and lack. We can be insecure about everything. And that's the fall from grace that we've heard about and that we've talked about. Fear, limitation, insecurity does not live in heaven. Now, we could go on retreats and we could fast for days and we could meditate every day or just be in Vipassana and meditate all day long, and we can feel enlightened. And I don't know about you, but a hair could fall out, or I could see a new gray hair, and out the window goes my bliss. I can get on the highway and my bliss could be gone in a flash. And it goes so quickly. But it only goes because that's a reflection of what's really going on in me. So I have to keep practicing those things to help me remember all of that. When I mentioned the fall earlier, we didn't physically fall anywhere. We just fell asleep. That means that we're all in a dream, and maybe sometimes a nightmare. As children of God, we just fell asleep. So in the moment we fell asleep, the God within us, the bliss within us, sent the feminine aspect of God, which is love and compassion. So we have that in us too, the love and compassion. Now, we came to this world as love, but we also came to this world as human. And we know that we aren't yet God, even though God is there within us. We know that we are not yet God because people and situations in our life that we don't like show up, and we need to forgive. We have to forgive because that means that somewhere within us there's still condemnation. God is actually all the people in those situations to mirror where we are not love. Does this make sense? When we see things that we don't like, we're forgetting our love. When I'm annoyed with somebody, that person is mirroring to me where I fell asleep. And when I properly deal with this, with forgiveness, then I'm back in that place of love and God. I'm remembering who I am. So the thing is, I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe that about myself. I don't want to believe that other stuff that I'm seeing, right? So I say, God, help me. Help me with mean and annoying people. Help them become more like me, right? And God is saying, they're already like you. It's just magnified so that you could see it. Your slightest fear, my slightest fear of God becomes the people that I fear. The slightest fear that God has retaliation or judgment on me for falling asleep is everyone else that manifests the reasons we think we are separate. Another way of saying it is, if you have the slightest amount of identity crisis, the slightest amount of not knowing who you are, it is going to manifest as a person making you feel small. So we go, God, that person makes me feel so small. And I'm not saying that it isn't happening, but I'm asking, why is that in your life? What are they there to teach you? God, Spirit, what can I really get from this? Tell me the truth about this, right? So, if I truly believe I am an extension of God and not the person standing here, then I am pure bliss. We're souls floating in bliss of heaven. Imagine that. Imagine that. Being a soul floating in heaven. That's the part of me that's never forgotten. It's the part of you that's never forgotten who we are. It's the part of you and me that's always been awake. And that's the part that we call the Christ consciousness. The other part is called the ego. And I heard another really great thing. I've always said the ego is edging God out. I heard Wayne Dyer say it's earthly guidance only. I was like, oh, that's great. That's great. Earthly guidance only. So, all people will reflect aspects back to us. The reflecting our awakening and where we have fallen asleep. And we are free to see this or not. And free will, I thought this was another great aha moment. Free will is when we freely choose to see the will of God. And the will of God is to be happy, joyous, and free. So I'm going to say that again. Free will is when we freely choose the will of God. And the will of God is that we are happy, joyous, and free. I am not the Christ all the time. But I am Christ consciousness, but sometimes I forget. And the closer I get to remembrance, the more I see reflection of healthy choices. So, there is a God, and God created children. That's who we are. That God is within each and every one of us. And the Christ is not something that Jesus attained. The Christ is who we are, and we are aspiring and working to remember that. Jesus just showed us the way. Jesus just remembered that he was the Christ and one with God. So what is Christ consciousness? Christ consciousness is to love everyone, to serve freely from a place of love, help as often as we can. Let thy will be done. Accept what is, not to detach to things. Emulate the state of consciousness. Accept things as they are and love things, no matter where or how they go. We all have the potential to reflect, realize, and live the Christ consciousness. It is accessible to all human beings. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He was crucified for saying this, but our goal is to lift our center, our consciousness, to the Christ consciousness and to expand our hearts with Christ's love so we can see the world from the vantage of Christ consciousness. In that, we see Christ consciousness in everyone and everything. And there's a memory within each of us for that. It's a healing path is what we're on to get to that place of enlightenment. So God said, let there be light. We are the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world. That is our identity. We turn down our light because we are afraid. What I want to say is, if you don't know what you are supposed to do, just do something, do anything. If nothing else, you'll realize it's not what you're supposed to do. Right? But find it. Be joyful in every way that you can be. Find that thing that always brings you joy, or at least joy for now, right? So, we are here to shine our light as God intended us to. So you ask yourself, am I being the best version of myself that I can be? Does the part of me that is remembering who I really am see me waking up to more of myself every day? If so, great. Keep up the good work. But if not, ask questions. What am I to do today? How can I serve? What is mine to do? I listened to Reverend Michael Gott out of Houston. He's amazing. He's a great teacher for me. And he says these are great questions when we're going through a dark time. I bring this up because sometimes believing we are God or Christ consciousness, we believe we shouldn't go through dark times. First, we want to make it go away, right? We just don't even want to see it. We think, I have all this creative power of life inside of me. Surely I could affirm this away, right? No, sometimes we can't. And that is how we know that it's a dark night of the soul. So if we do affirmations and it's still here, guess what? It's a little bit deeper. We got to do a little bit more work. Byron Katie says, nothing is happening to you. Everything is happening for you. So if it doesn't go away by willing it away or pushing it away or affirming it away, we must surrender. Who grew up thinking that surrender was giving up versus giving over so we can win? Giving up the need to try to control and manage this versus trust there's a higher power working inside me. I can surrender. I can open. I can allow. I can let it be. And then we can experience release. Dark times don't come to us. They are happening for us because our old way of being, thought structures, and belief systems are breaking down, and they are needed to go for growth and transformation. And if we keep holding on, it just keeps hurting more. So, a member of my family, I think, is going through a dark night of the soul. Whether she is or not, I am going through a dark night of the soul, witnessing what she's going through. And it's been excruciating. It's been for 2 months. She was homeless. And it came to a culmination the other day when another sister of mine got a phone call that she was picked up driving up an exit ramp to get on the highway. And thank God she got picked up. But now she's in a hospital and she's taking meds, but she doesn't want to be taking meds. My sister had to go there to get some paperwork signed so we can get her car out of impoundment so she's not paying thousands of dollars. And to get her car out. And she clearly said to my sister, I'm only doing this because they're making me do it. I'm not happy about it. And they're gonna supposedly release her on Tuesday. And after we got her car, both my sister and I were like, you know, we did that because it's the only place she's living. But man, we don't want her driving it. So we're hoping there's enough damage on it that it's not drivable anymore. We're hoping that. But I, you know, and I had to pray and I had to reach out to my community for guidance on this because I was in this place of not seeing the Christ consciousness, not accessing my Christ consciousness and trusting that her soul's on a journey and that I don't know what that journey is. But my journey is to see her whole and healed, and know I'm gonna have feelings about it. Know I can't affirm this away. Know that my heart breaks when I think of her. The Christ consciousness is with us all the time, even when we're going through these dark nights of the soul. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but fear not. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, you are going to experience difficult things in this life. That is the way this life here on the planet is. So when we look at it from a metaphysical perspective, read it as, it is the Christ spirit, the Christ mind, and the Christ consciousness, which is in you, waking up to see all of these things as what they really are. Waking me up to see things from that Christ consciousness every day. Trusting that although I call them bad things, that God is in them too. losses come, the death of a loved one, a financial disaster, the life-threatening diagnosis will come. But Jesus reminds us, he overcame the world, and so will we. The power of the indwelling Christ, the power of this oneness of knowing God is here in, through, and as me. Knowing this helps considerably. Knowing this, I will overcome. She will overcome. We will overcome. When we follow the Christ oath, these dark nights happen only to remind us of the light within every time shines bright. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Say it, all of us. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Let it be, and know that it is the Christ in you that can say that with complete confidence. So how do we get through these times? We accept this dark night as a part of life. We surrender to the highest. It's God knocking from the inside of us. We meditate 10 to 12 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes a day. We pray affirmatively. We have a spiritual community. We already established that today. So we rely on one another. We surround ourselves with our spiritual community. We reach out when we need help. We know the truth for each other. When I can't know the truth, I reach out and you guys remind me of the truth. And I am so grateful. We stay connected. We lean into our faith and trust the process. So, can someone give me a tissue, please? Thank you. So in this, preparing this talk, I heard a story, and if you guys have heard it, hopefully you'll still enjoy it. It's called The Death of a Caterpillar, and it has three chapters: grace, faith, and hope. And it begins on a beautiful spring morning on the underside of a milkweed plant leaf. A tiny, tiny egg cracked open. Out popped the tiniest 1/4 inch caterpillar. She clung on to the leaf and she announced, "I am born." She had a sudden realization of her life and she said, "I am so hungry." She looked around and didn't know what she could eat. All she saw was all green. As she stood on the edge of the leaf, she realized that edge may fit in her mouth. And she said, "What do I have to lose?" So she opened wide and she took a bite and she chewed and was so satisfied. It was tasty. She began to munch and chew on the life and it was just joy, joy, joy. It was all she needed. Her whole world was edible. What a gift. Life is supporting her at every edge. She was so grateful. She didn't have to do anything to earn this love. It was just there. And she said, "My name is Grace." Grace continued to eat on that plant. She would devour an entire leaf just for breakfast. She would move on to another and eat and then come back and see that the leaf she ate there another day. And now there were two. She was growing and growing and getting plump and sleek, and she loved her life. So think about the beginning when you stumbled upon your metaphysical journey and you came in here and you heard all these affirmations and everything was going great, right? And all those affirmations were working. That's what she's experiencing right now, okay? That's the metaphor between us. Well, one day, something changed. She was eating her breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and she had, like she had done every day, but she had a strange feeling, a feeling she never felt before. It feels so strange. She tried to eat a few more bites, but the feeling intensified. I am full. She never experienced it before and had no idea as to what to do with it. This isn't what I have come to love and want. I love eating more than anything, but I'm full. What do I do now? She was confused and a little sad. She thought, there has always been something inside of me to tell me what to do if I listen. I'm going to get quiet for a minute. That same impulse that guided her to the edge of the leaf for her first meal said, go under the leaf to the base. You will find you are able to attach your body there. So out of faith, she did that. That is a strange thing to feel, but she did it, and she hung there. Sitting still can feel strange for us too. Did you ever hear the expression, don't just sit there, don't just do something, sit there? Confused, perplexed, not knowing what life was going to bring her here, what was going to bring her next. But she hung there. She noticed her body was beginning to change and somehow creating this hard shell around her own body. And it felt scary. Like this is nothing like the life she had planned. I didn't ask for this. I was happy to go on eating forever. Everything she began to see was going to close her whole body within itself. She said, ah, I have come to die. This is my tomb. My body is building its own tomb. This is what the dark night of the soul feels like. What I have known is no more. He's gone. It's gone. I can't do what I used to do. There is a deep grief in that loss, which must be honored and must be felt. As she feels this process, she assumes to be her own death. She feels herself slowing down and getting darker, and the walls are opaque and she can't see anything. Encased in this hard tomb, the end of her life, she thinks. As she begins to lose consciousness, she has one more thought and she thinks, every step of my life, I have been supported and guided. This may well be it, but I'm going to trust this process. My name is Faith. The caterpillar's body turns into goop, and the last thing that happens is the head pops off. The last thing that we do before our transformation is say, I gotta figure this out. And then when we realize we can't figure it out from here, we let go, right? We let go. We have to let go. Well, inside the goop, there are little discs called imaginal cells. They begin to arrange themselves in a new formation inside this organic mess. They pull together new cells and new ways of being, forming a new body that looks nothing like a caterpillar. In the right time, when that work is complete, the chrysalis becomes transparent. Let's go back to Faith. Having had the experience I just described, Faith wakes up and she sees the light coming through the tomb and she realizes she didn't die. This was not the end of her life, but she felt very different. There was no great hunger, but there was a need to push, to stretch, to move. She began to do that and the chrysalis cracked open. She began to come out of it and she looked and said, this is not my body. This is new. This is not me, but it is me. It's a new me with long, delicate legs, slender body, and these beautiful wings. She began to pump her blood, and as she did, her wings opened up, and she began to flap them, which lifted her off the leaf she was standing on. She found she could hover, and she could move further and further from the plant. She could see so far from where she was. She could see a garden and a meadow and a forest. Her world became huge. She was free to experience the world in a way she could never have experienced before the dark night of the soul. Then something interesting happened. She felt a stirring in the core of her being. She could be a part of a new butterfly life. There are new generations of life waiting to be born through her. As she was feeding on the nectar of the flowers, she realized she was pollinating these plants, one to another. She's giving back. She realizes there will be a time that is, this life is over, but she sees she can be a part of a greater future. My name is Hope. My name is Hope. And all of this is a result of the caterpillar going through a dark night of the soul. So, to summarize, dark times come to us. They don't come to us, I'm sorry. They're happening for us because our old way of being, our thought structures and belief systems are breaking down and they are no longer needed. So we need to have have the dark night of the soul for our growth and our transformation. So we have to accept and surrender and pray and meditate, have spiritual community, lean on our faith, and live from the Christ consciousness. I want to say thank you. I'm your sister companion in prayer, possibility, and power. I see you, I appreciate you, and I love you. Until we meet again, remember you are blessed and a blessing.